You're listening to the Children's Hour, and over the break, we heard Susie Tallman from Classical Baby playing Claire de Lune. Today on the show, we're learning about our moon. Our episode has a learning guide that comes with it. You can find it at childrenshour.org. Look for the moon. And we've been talking with an astronaut who's about to go around the moon and what it's like to be in space. But now our guest is Dr. Chip Shearer. He's from the Institute of Meteoritics at the University of New Mexico, and he's a researcher and professor and a planetary geologist.
Excited to be here.
Would there be life on Earth without a moon? And if so, what would it be like?
I really don't know what it would be like at all. If you don't have a tide that's caused by the moon, how does that impact the evolution of life on Earth? You know, if you look up at the moon and you see all those large craters on the moon, if you look at the moon and you think it looks like the man in the moon, the eyes and the nose and the mouth, those are all large, large craters resulting from the impact of other planetary bodies into the moon. And that happened perhaps on the order of 3.9 billion years ago when life was just starting to evolve on Earth. The moon kind of is a recorder of what happened to the Earth 4 billion years ago.
You're so certain about these dates. How do you know?
We have rocks from the moon, and we can take these rocks that were returned from the Apollo missions, from the Luna missions. We can take them and bring them into laboratories, and we date them using a bunch of different radio isotopes that we essentially know how they decay and the time at which over which they decay. And utilizing that, we can essentially date the rocks. The important thing is being able to place it within some sort of geological context. You know, if you just take a rock, you probably can date it very well, but you don't have a context to place. Is that rock dating an event of some sort? And that's what we're trying to get back to, not only the age, but what does that age mean?
Why is the moon a gray-white color, and what is it primarily made out of?
Well, it's actually several colors. One is kind of a darker black color. Those are called mare, and those are from the eruption of basalts and flooding these impact basins. And if we can have somebody give us a hand.
Let's pass around the basalt.
This isn't from the moon, nor is it a burned souffle. My wife was working in Hawaii. She's a geologist also. And she was standing in front of a lava flow coming out of the Hawaiian volcanoes and scooping them with a shovel for part of a study she was carrying out.
You're showing us this because this is what the dark part of the moon is made of, a burnt sort of, well, basalt, but like burnt carbon. We have basalt here in New Mexico.
They're all over the world. Some of them are fairly recent, like in Hawaii, where you're still having eruptions of lava now, all the way up through Canada, most places on the earth have basalts of some sort.
I heard that you can find moon rocks on Earth. If that's true, how do you know they're moon rocks?
Well, you know, actually what I have here is I have two moon rocks I'm going to hand out to the group.
We are actually touching pieces of rock from the moon.
When they have these sharp edges, they loosely kind of hurt, but even with the sharp edges, it's still got like, it's soft feeling.
It's like smooth. It doesn't hurt you to touch it. It actually has the look of the surface of the moon. It's got all of these craters just like the moon, but it's small. It's like the size of a human fist, and it's very heavy, and there's holes all through it. And then there's this other one.
And that one is, remember I told you the large impacts on the moon are filled with basalts. And that's the darker color. The parts of the moon that aren't filled with the basalts are the lunar highlands. And those are kind of the grayer parts of the moon. And that's what you saw in that little case. That's a part of the lunar highlands. And those are usually older than the basalts themselves.
So the moon has a lot of solid rocks like basalt, but it also has a lot of really fine dust. Where did all of that come from?
It's a product of impacts on the lunar surface of various sizes. Some of these impacts can be hundreds of miles across. That essentially forms debris from those impacts. And so when you look at lunar rocks, lunar soils, you can determine what its ages are by its maturity. But what I've got for you guys is a lunar soil sample.
Wow. It's just a teeny tiny little vial.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's filled with just a little itty bitty of almost like sand.
When I looked inside of the jar, why were some of the specks of sand white and why were some of the specks of sand black?
They're made of different minerals. What you saw in terms of the light minerals, that's a mineral called feldspar. So what you're seeing are differences in mineralogy of the soil sample. The darker rocks can be a mineral called pyroxene, or they could be impact glass, or there is, in that particular sample, small little tiny glass beads that are from these ancient volcanic eruptions on the lunar surface. And this sample was actually returned to Earth by a New Mexican, Apollo 17 astronaut Harrison Schmidt.
That's Dr. Chip Shearer. He's from the Institute of Meteoritics at the University of New Mexico, and he's a researcher and professor and a planetary geologist. He actually studies the rocks that come back from the moon. The samples he has today are from Apollo 17. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and this is Danny Weinkauf.
On July 16th, 1969, a rocket was sent into space. The astronauts and the cosmonauts were having a bit of a race. They said they were gonna land a man on the moon, and you can believe what you please. But I don't care what the scientists say, the moon is made of cheese. The name of the ship was Apollo 11, it was named for an old Greek god. One fella named Buzz and another named Neil were the ones they chose for the job. They said their plan was to go for a walk and maybe fly a little flag in the breeze. But I don't care what the scientists say, the moon is made of cheese. No, I don't care what the scientists say, the moon is made of cheese. Cause my mama always told me, I don't believe in no UFOs or little green men from space. So when they talk about walks on the moon, it puts a smile on my face. Now when I'm watching those history shows, it all seems so funny to me. Cause I don't care what the scientists say, the moon is made of cheese. No, I don't care what the scientists say, the moon is made of cheese. It's made of cheese, it's made of cheese, the moon is made of cheese.
This is the Children's Hour, and I'm Katie Stone. We know the moon is not made out of cheese, but that's what some people think. Some people also think that the moon is blue sometimes. We wanted to learn more about blue moons, and long ago, our dear friend Crawford McCallum told us why we have blue moons.
Way back in 1937, a magazine called the Farmer's Almanac named the 12 full moons of the year. Starting with the winter solstice in December, the first three are called Moon After Yule, Wolf Moon, and Lenten Moon. Then, after spring equinox in March, we have Egg Moon, Milk Moon, and Flower Moon. Between summer solstice and fall equinox in September, we have hay moon, grain moon, and fruit moon. And finally, between fall equinox and winter solstice, comes harvest moon, hunter's moon, and moon before Yule. Three full moons in each of four seasons. 3 times 4 makes 12. Neat. Oh, but there's a problem. 12 moon months don't quite make a whole year. The moon goes around the Earth a little bit more than 12 times, while the Earth goes around the Sun exactly once. So, every few years, like once in a blue moon, yep, we get 13 full moons in a year. And there's no telling which season that extra full moon is going to come in, so we can't give it a nice descriptive name like the others. Old monks who had to figure out the church calendar decided to just call it a blue moon. So, a blue moon is the extra one when we happen to get 4 full moons in one of the seasons, instead of 3. Unfortunately, somebody read this story in the Farmer's Almanac back in 1937 and got mixed up and said a blue moon was when you get 2 full moons in the same month. And that was so much easier to understand than the real story that now most people think that's what a blue moon is. So you can just take your choice.
I see it right there.
Up you go.
I do.
Oh, yes.
I see it right there.
Okay, should go to the next room. Okay, hold me. At night we look for the moon, first in Mommy and Daddy's room. It's dark, so hold my hand, I pick you up. Is the moon out there tonight? We're looking for the moon all night. Should we look for the moon in the next window?
There it is. It looks like a big turtle.
Is your shadow on the floor?
Yep, there's one. There's one shadow.
See my shadow too? And there's yours.
I see one stuck together. It runs around.
Should we dance around with it? Like this?
And you found another star. They always shine right where you are. Then we'll walk on down the hall. Is the moon out tonight at all? Is the moon for the moon of all our mind?
Maybe a shadow. There.
Show me.
Oh! I jumped up high. Why did that happen?
Next come all the other room. And then there's yours. And have we found the moon?
It's not sleepy time yet. Who likes a bubble first?
You're blowing bubbles?
Mommy, could you catch one?
Yeah, sure.
There's a bubble.
Should we send it to the moon? Mr. Moon caught the bubble.
Yay! And now it's sleepy time. We all sleep with the moon until the next time. Is the moon out there tonight? We're looking for the moon.
That's the Rebops, right here on the Children's Hour. The moon, Earth's faithful companion, is Earth's only natural satellite. It orbits at an average distance of about 238,855 miles. Its surface is adorned with vast lunar seas called maria that were formed by ancient volcanic activity. Contrary to popular belief, the moon isn't completely devoid of an atmosphere. In fact, it has a thin exosphere. It's composed primarily of helium, neon, and hydrogen. One of the most striking features visible from Earth is the moon's phases, which are caused by its orbit around our planet and its interaction with sunlight. Additionally, the moon's gravity affects Earth's tides, exerting a powerful influence on our planet's oceans. These captivating lunar phenomena continue to inspire scientists and stargazers alike, and they fuel our curiosity about all of the celestial wonders above our heads. We have a lot more moon facts and information about the moon at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, The Moon, where you can find a learning guide. We're going to go out with one more. This is Ralph's World. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. I want to know what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, and Mars. In other words, please be true. In other words, in other words, in other words, I love you.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, playlists, learning guides, and activities for every episode at childrenshour.org.
Today's episode of the Children's Hour was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with production help from Christina Stella, Sarah Gabrielli, Daniel Lentz, and Mackenzie Gronke. Chad Shear recorded us at Outpost. Our learning guides are written by Amber Scheel. You can find this one at childrenshour.org. Look for the moon.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.